We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Rob Doster here. I got Jeff Goodman with me.
Hell no.
John Tate.
Are we still on?
Till the 68 till I die.
Get it to you.
I'm sorry, man. I blacked out.
Randolph Children.
DJ Khaled. You know the big DJ Khaled guy?
Hands grown up and in.
Goodman needs to be fired all the time.
Josh Pastner.
You're going to beat people straight up.
You know the deal.
They have no swag. They have no nothing.
Terrell McNeil.
From the bluest of the blue bloods to the smallest of the mid majors.
This is Field of 68. After dark.
The party begin in Phoenix, Arizona, everybody. The Field of 68 presents our first Final Four show of the week. We are live from Huss Brewing downtown. This is one of four locations around this area. Huss Brewing is our headquarters all throughout the week here at the Field of 68. They've got several great brews to try, from the Orange Blossom to the Scottsdale Blonde. So many great menu items. Please stop and see us. Again, we are at Huss Brewing on East Monroe Street. I'm John Fanta. It's a pleasure to be with you guys. This is like the holidays. Jeff Goodman is here. Rob Doster is here. Randolph Childress is here. We've got a cast of thousands, more than you'll see at Augusta, here this week. Fellas, let's get right into it here. It's a Final Four. We've got UConn and Alabama on one side, and we've got Purdue and NC State on the other. It just goes to show you, when you start this tournament, you don't know what four you're going to get, but so many storylines. Jeff Goodman, what is your favorite storyline? Happy Final Four week, my friend.
No, happy Final Four week. Obviously, this is the best time of year, and you get it in a place where we can do this show outside, not Detroit, Michigan. Right? Like, what are we thinking in a couple
years? 45 seconds into the show, you throw Detroit, Michigan under the bus.
I love this. No, I love Phoenix. I love Scottsdale. We'll be there tonight. If anybody wants to see us, come by Scottsdale tonight, Thursday night, Friday night. I mean, Doster may not be standing, but you might be able to see him too.
Yeah, we got a canned blonde right here. We got the bottled blonde later on.
Yeah, we do.
We got options.
It doesn't get much better than this, man. It's my favorite week of the year. It's my favorite trip that we make every year. The Final Four, seeing everybody, the environment. It's like everything that is great about the sport.
I mean, John Calipari just walked right behind us about 10 minutes ago, RC, and he had kind of a dazed look on his face. I don't know if it was because he saw me.
I'm sure that's what it was.
Or because he's worried about anybody around, any Kentucky fans.
Does he know who you are?
Yelling, "Fire Cal."
Does he still know who you are?
Oh, he knows who I am.
Last time he walked by you, it just seemed like he didn't
remember
know who
here.
You were.
Do you remember here?
It was here.
It was here. It was here.
At the W.
We're probably going to have a repeat performance tomorrow night.
We just did. He just walked right past.
Yeah.
Hello, Randolph Childress.
He walked by. He was like, "Randolph, RC, what's up, man? How we doing?"
He just walked past, gave me the head nod.
RC, we got us. We're starting right on this because you've had your wonderful video tribute that you sent to us when we were in Boston. Yes, there's an ACC team here. We have the ACC represented. We have four different leagues. The SEC is represented with Alabama. Who would have thought that after they lost four of their last six games heading into the tournament? We have a Big East team in UConn. That's not surprising. And Purdue out of the Big Ten. Could the Big Ten title drop be snapped? But NC State is here.
Right.
How on earth are they here?
Listen, that team just came together, and I just think defensively they're a lot better than people give them credit for. And obviously we've seen what DJ Burns has turned into, but their perimeter defense has gotten a lot better, and the role players just stepped up.
Let me translate that for you. Whenever anybody says, well, their team just came together, what he really means is I have no idea how in the hell NC State is here.
No one knows.
Not even NC State.
Can you speak to 3 weeks ago where Kevin Keats stood to where he stands right now?
I want to speak to RC a few nights ago and the fact that he thought and everybody thought Duke would be here, and instead it's NC State. And now we can look at the ACC a little bit differently than you were looking at them the other night.
No. Fanta was on the show, and we talked about it. And I said, Fanta, I said the backcourt defensively can give Duke some trouble.
Yes.
I spoke that NC State. I said they had just beaten them in the ACC tournament. This is not the slam dunk that everybody, the layup that everybody thought it was going to be. So I spoke up for State. Now, I didn't say I was betting on them.
You can speak up for them all you want, but doesn't this show that the ACC – is mid like I said it was year.
No.
This shows it. The only
I'm
team you got
you.
In is an 11
I'm asking
Where's
you.
Where's Duke? Where's Carolina? Where's Virginia? Where's Clemson?
Okay, they just went home. Like, they haven't even unpacked. They just went home. They haven't even unpacked. Some of the guys are already on vacation. They're home. Players are home. Families on vacation. Clemson, Duke, and Carolina haven't even unpacked.
Rob, what are you more intrigued by this week? UConn trying to make history as the first back-to-back since 06-07, or Purdue chasing the ultimate redemption?
Put those hands together. Give me a little bit of column A, give me a little bit of column B. What I want, all due respect to Alabama fans, all due respect to my NC State fans, I want to see that UConn-Purdue game. I think it's what everybody wants. They're the two best teams in college basketball. They're the two best stories in college basketball.
Right.
It's awesome that NC State has made this run. And there's always a part of, I think, all of us that appreciate the way that some of these Cinderellas, and yes, I am calling NC State a Cinderella. If anybody's ever been a Cinderella at the ball, it's been DJ Burns wearing the glass slippers, right? But I think we all want to see that UConn-Purdue national title game. It feels like that's what the sport kind of deserves.
Yeah.
And I was telling Randolph this earlier. It feels – this reminds me quite a bit of the 1999 NCAA tournament run where UConn and Duke were kind of on this collision course in the national title game where everyone was saying how good this Duke team was. They had Elton Brand. They had William Avery. They had Trajan Langdon. They had all of these pros. They had all of these guys that were going to end up being these great players down the road. They were this great team that everyone anointed from the start of the season. And then here comes UConn, who had never really gotten to that point, who had never really reached that level in their first Final Four ever, went down there, slayed the Giants, top dogs, Khalid El-Amin, jumped up on there in the scores table, let everybody know, right? Am I crazy in saying that that's kind of what this feels like a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, again, I just think this one was one we wanted for 3 months now.
Right.
We've literally looked at this. Mm-hmm. Now, again, there were some other teams that kind of got in the periphery, right? Houston. Okay, maybe Arizona for a minute. But for the most part, it's been these storylines, too, once we saw how good UConn was. Because we didn't expect this. Again, Danny Hurley will remind you over and over and over. What, we were closer to fourth than third in the Big East preseason poll. He says it every single press conference. Thanks, Dan.
I ain't buying that. He's returning a lottery. He had two lottery picks.
Yeah, no,
returning
no.
Like this team was damn good. I don't know who we thought was going to be there. Maybe Marquette. I don't see them dropping past that in anybody. So I question John Fanton, whoever else was voting in the Big East.
The coaches vote them. For the preseason poll. I didn't have them third. The coaches did. They did lose five of their top eight scores.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, but when two of them are lotteries, and you got a freshman coming in,
right,
and you got a lottery pick coming in, you know, cupboard wasn't bare.
The big question was going to be, was Klinging going to be healthy when it mattered?
True.
That was the big question for the
Huge.
First third of the season. It was like, okay, big dude, foot issues.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
We've seen that.
Right? And if Klingon's not healthy, let's face it, there's no way in hell this team's here.
And don't forget, Stephon Castle wasn't healthy for a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And so then people are saying, hey, what's going on? Now, here's what's great. We're live. We're on YouTube. We're on X. We're on SiriusXM every single day here from Huss Brewing Company. Stop and see us at East Monroe Street. But by being live, we are giving you in-the-moment news. And our in-the-moment news right now, this is just broken. Dan Hurley and UConn are stuck right now due to logistical and mechanical issues with their plane, which was coming in from Kansas City. So they have significant delays. the latest that we're hearing is that UConn could get a plane around 12:45 a.m. Eastern time. This is the number one seed in the NCAA tournament.
Credit the Lander. Credit the Lander.
Matt Norlander of CBS Sports has reported this, at Matt Norlander. The plane from Cincinnati, which UConn could potentially get on, would require a fuel stop because the plane is smaller. The Huskies are going to get to Arizona with just hours to spare before they see the media on Thursday. UConn remains in limbo, waiting on their earliest flight. But barring a stunner, their plane will not get out until after midnight. This is due to a crewing hours thing with the FAA. Jeff Goodman, because the crew has worked a certain amount of hours, their plane right now can't fly. What is your reaction to Connecticut not being able to fly till after midnight when they were supposed to fly hours ago this afternoon?
Yeah, I don't give a shit. I don't give a shit. You were flabbergasted. You were like in an uproar. Oh,
no,
my
I'm
God.
In an uproar,
they're not going to get in until late tonight in the morning.
No.
And they're not going to be fresh to face us.
I'm in
they
an
have,
uproar.
They have 3 days before they play a game.
It's not. It has nothing to do with that. And I think Rob tried to inject some reasoning here. It has nothing to do with whether it impacts their performance. It has to do with this is the NCAA. This
Fine.
Is the Final Four.
But let's not let Dan Hurley control the narrative here of, like, we were screwed here. Like, they've got plenty of time.
This is not basketball.
Take it for me.
No. This is a conspiracy. The NCAA does not want UConn to win.
Oh, my God.
This is the NCAA. This is Charlie Baker reaching down from above and saying, we don't want UConn to win this national title.
I shouldn't have relied on him to be the voice of reason.
Hey.
Yeah, I knew you was in trouble when you relied on
RC. Rob. You know what I'm saying, RC. This is the Final Four, and we got a plan. They can't fly.
As a player, I would hate it because you and I were just talking about that. Rob says he sleeps on plane. You and I say we don't. So I wouldn't want to fly all night knowing I can't sleep.
Thank you.
And then wake up the next
day. I get it, but you have 2 days.
True.
It's not that.
But it's not like you're playing
tomorrow. But you're talking about a superstitious coach that's gonna have your ass in the gym practicing.
But the kids aren't.
The kids aren't what?
Superstitious.
No, they're not. But they're still going to have to go to the schedule.
I don't know.
Well, they are.
Some of them are.
They are very superstitious.
That
they
coach what?
Like they are because their coach is a lunatic. Like, come on.
It's not about their ability to play.
No, I'm just saying, keeping the schedule, though. They're going to still have to do some
All I'm saying is tomorrow is Thursday. It's not even Friday.
Okay.
It's not even Friday. If this were Friday morning, I would say, okay, you know what? I get it.
You're touching the ball, though. You're going to practice at some point. When are you going to practice?
Yeah, tomorrow. You'll practice. You'll sleep. They'll sleep when they get here. They'll get in. You know, then they'll figure it out.
Do you work for the NCAA?
No, it's not. This is not.
We actually just had a minute.
Okay. Why are you riding for the NCAA right now?
I'm just being honest.
All right, here, be honest with me. Be honest with me then on this. So you don't think much of this. Charlie Baker will see the media at some point this week. The NCAA is going to talk.
I saw Charlie.
Me and him were
on the same flight.
Right. So
we're hanging.
What's the biggest thing that the NCAA should be addressing with the state of college basketball right now?
Oh, I mean, we don't have enough time.
Yeah.
We don't have that question cannot be answered right now. Like, we got days here to talk about that. I don't think we're ready for that one right now.
I'm ready for it.
Oh, let's pick one topic per day.
I'm ready for it.
It's NIL. It's obviously NIL.
Nope.
I just had a coach call me. And you know what he said? He said, I just got up the phone with an agent, and they asked for $1 million for a player just now. $1 million. And it was a mid-major player. A mid-major player. Now, he also said there's several agents representing the same kid. So basically, the kid hasn't picked an agent. There's a lot of these lower-level NIL agents out there. And a bunch of them are calling around trying to get the best offer and then going to the kid and saying, I get you $900 here.
That's
and
what
another
they're doing.
Agent saying, I can get you $700 here. It is a mess right now. It's a mess. Again, I understand the intention is good, the fact that these kids are going to get paid. But right now the sport is in – it's in flux. It is. It's in flux, and it's not good right now. It's not. I know people want me to say, hey, it's all – I heard Sean Farnham say it on Sirius. Let's promote the goodness of – listen, when we see Purdue UConn play, hopefully in the national title game, that is the goodness.
Of course.
On the court is great. Off the court right now, and I think it's too late for Charlie Baker to be able to rein it in. I do.
No, there's ways to rein it in. You can require a certain – like –
There's got to be contract structures. There's got to be guarantees for the players that are getting these deals. There's got to be actual, like, some kind of registration for an agent the way that they do in the NBA, right? You have to be able to go through some certain kind of testing, whatever it is. There's ways to build structure around it, but you need those structures in place. Like, the idea, and I understand that people hate the word guardrails when it comes to NIL, but you need, like, no other professional sport, and we're all adults here, right? We're all sitting in a bar. We all got to be 21 years old. I got a beverage in front of me. We're all grown-ups here. So let's talk about it like grown-ups. This is professional sports. These are guys getting paid for play. So there is no other professional sport where there is no structure. There's no no salary cap. There's no requirements for guaranteed years. There's no requirements for guaranteed money. There's no way to put protections in place for the players where if they're told they're going to get a certain amount and that contract is signed, that they're actually going to get that amount. There's no way to guarantee that right now. That's the problem.
Though I agree.
Contracts through agents.
I agree with you and what you guys are saying, my only pushback is you dragged your feet for so long. Had you got out in front of this, then now it's gotten out of hand.
Mark Emmert, deal with it.
Because you let this manifest itself. We should have been out in front of this years ago.
You know what the problem is, though?
Years ago.
You say deal with it, and I agree, but it's gonna force a lot of coaches, good coaches, out of the game earlier than they should.
Like I've
talked about. But, right, Jay Wright, obviously, he might still be coaching.
They got their – no disrespect, they're legends of it. They had their lion's share of this. And nobody cared when the good guys, quote unquote, were getting their ass trying to do it the right way and all the crap was happening behind the scenes before. So that narrative, I'm like, no. It's just what the NIL, I tell you
what, you think it's gotten out of control?
No, I do think it's gotten out of control. But what it has done is in some aspects, it allowed somebody, like if Fanta was my guy and had a crap ton of money, allowed me to get back in the game. Allowed me to say, hey, same thing that was happening behind the scenes with the shoe deals and the NILs and the boosters and everything else. Now I got a guy that could come in with a company or whatever and then take care of my athletes. Mm-hmm. So it's created even more parity, right. I think. And though, again, it needs to be legislated, there needs to be – but it's created more parity.
That's a really good point because what everyone was saying was the rich are only going to get richer if this happens. Well, you know what?
No.
Guess who's in the Final Four right now? Alabama's the first time they made the Final Four. NC State's the first time they made it in 41 years. We're looking at Purdue. It's the first time they made it since 1980.
Go back to the Elite Eight. Just go to the Elite Eight.
Look at last year's Final Four. Miami, San Diego State,
Illinois,
FAU,
05.
UConn, Illinois. Yes. Like, it has created more parity because some of these programs that are considered more great basketball programs maybe don't have the money like this, right? And you know who does? It's some of these programs that are football programs that know how to get the shit done.
It's forced the Blue Bloods and all the ones that traditionally was able to get away and do stuff a certain way. It's forced them now where they've got a ceiling from NIL. They don't have just a blank check to say, I can spend money and do whatever I want. And it's real. So I think it's helped in that aspect.
Let's talk. Go ahead. And then, okay,
no, go ahead.
All right. Let's talk more about this Final Four because I do think last year we were sitting thinking about Connecticut and San Diego State, Miami and Florida Atlantic, and we defined that, and it was not the most buzzworthy Final Four going into it. In fact, it was quite the opposite of that. How would you define this collection of four teams? I know what we want. We all know what we want with UConn and Purdue. What do you make of this Final Four?
Well, again, I said it like 2 weeks ago. I said, I think we're going to have a couple people come to the party that we didn't expect. We just didn't know who. Like, I thought it might be another mid-major, like a Florida Atlantic, you know, a VCU type, a George Mason type. Instead, we have high major, you know, NC State, we never thought. Alabama, we didn't think. You and I saw them. So you kind of knew this was going to happen, I think. There were two powerful teams, and Houston could have been here. If Jamal Shedd doesn't get hurt, let's face
they're
it.
Probably here.
Houston's
they're here.
Probably here, right? We all agree on that?
Yes.
And then it's a little bit better because you have one heavyweight matchup. Right now you're looking at it and you're saying to yourself, all right, like where's the upset going to come from? Can either team really lose?
Do you think?
I don't.
I do want to push back on that a little bit because I think after the first weekend, did we really think that there was going to be like this level of craziness? Because we had all 4-1 seeds. We had all 4-2 seeds. We had 2-3s, 2-4 seeds, 2-5 seeds, a 6 and an 11. Did we really think that?
I didn't think NC State would be here, be honest.
Yeah, I thought it was going to be closer to chalk than this.
Yeah.
Right?
I
think we all had North Carolina beating Alabama.
I think the biggest thing for me is that it's just rare in this tournament for the two teams that you've been talking about for 4 months to still be standing in the Final Four and potentially meet for a national championship. Mm-hmm. We see it in college football. In the NBA playoffs in a seven-game series, it weeds itself out. You end up with the two best teams or two of the best three. That's what's refreshing about Darcy is if we do, with all due respect to Alabama and NC State, because if either one of them wins, we're going to be talking Saturday night about how wild that is and what kind of an upset that is, because it would be. But if we get Klingon versus Edie, college basketball has not seen 2 7-footers starting in a national championship game since Hakeem Olajuwon versus Patrick Ewing. Like, that to me, if we get this matchup that we've been talking about, we wished it would happen in November or December. Obviously, it didn't. That's great for college basketball.
It's great for college basketball because in that single elimination tournament, we don't always get the best teams throughout the year. We don't get that. And if that happens and we get Purdue and UConn, we get the best team from November to March. Those two have been hands down, they've been the top two teams that we've known from November to now. So if we get that, that's what you want. Two best teams all year long.
Their storylines are so good.
Yes.
Not just that the teams are so good.
Yes.
The storylines with both of them, obviously UConn with a repeat, first repeat since, you know, Billy Donovan's Florida teams in 06-07. And then you've got Purdue and obviously what they went through last year, suffering the worst loss probably in NCAA tournament history. And Painter, how he handled it. Like, that's the beauty of this. And you've also got two coaches that are polar opposites.
Yes.
There, right? I mean, Hurley the maniac against Painter. It was kind of like this for the most part, right? Really thoughtful, you know, doesn't really overreact, just kind of does his thing. And
if Painter was here, he would be sipping on one of these with me.
Totally.
I wouldn't be drinking alone by myself.
Hurley might be too. He'd just be like downing. He'd shotgun it probably.
He's with house money. He's already answered the bell. He's answered it because they made it this far.
Painter?
Painter.
You think they're good?
No,
you think they're good?
No, I disagree.
They would lose to a double-digit seed. That's not.
No, I don't think it means winning the whole thing.
I mean from this saying that you're talking about a style of play. His style and all the postseason failure in March. And for him to get this far, you can't tell me that as great as he's not worried about job security, any of that. But there had to be some doubt to say, can I win in March?
We all had that doubt.
That's what I'm saying.
We all had that doubt.
And there's no question he had to have it as well. Like, hey, and he has his system and he plays it. This isn't the most talented team. But they were better a year ago.
That doubt's not.
2 years ago when Ivy was here, they had explosive guard. This team was talented.
Couldn't guard a tree, but yes.
And again, now if they didn't have Zach Edey, they couldn't guard anything.
No, but Braden Smith's different. I mean, he's different than he was a year ago. He's one of the top 5 point guards in the country, I think.
No,
I think
not that.
There.
Not
right around
no.
there.
No, he's good.
There.
He's up there though. He's up.
I'm saying
he's
somewhere
he's
in that five.
He belongs
in the top five.
His elevation there is no question. He belongs there.
Yeah,
he belongs there.
Can I just say real quick though, like on this idea that. That they're kind of playing with house money. I absolutely think that Purdue is at this point. Like, that's not to say that they don't want to win a championship. But,
I don't think they had a pressure. I agree with you.
But like, I feel like now that they're here, the pressure is off to be able – like, and look,
and
I will say that there still is the potential for the funniest thing to happen with Purdue having all their issues with double-digit seeds to finally make it to the Final Four and lose to a – that would objectively – be hilarious.
But Jeff, I'm not saying they're not expecting to win. You're at the Final Freaking Four. You're having expectations to win.
Agree.
I'm only saying that the pressure is off that we're not going to lose in the first or second round of the tournament.
Agreed.
So now they can just play.
I think we're all agreeing on that. You can both say the pressure's off that they made the Final Four and that they're not playing with house money and that they could beat a double-digit seed to make the national championship game.
Yeah, I mean, you're right there. If you're going up against UConn in the national title game, what's the spread going to be? 4, 5 points, maybe?
Less.
Six.
Less.
3 points?
Like 2.5.
2.5, 3 points.
Yeah.
Okay. So, to me, again, it's not like you're playing with house money and that, like, everybody's going to think UConn's going to roll. They're not. It's going to be one of those kind of pick-em-ish type games. And to me, it's that close for Matt Painter. It's that close where you may never get there again because you're Purdue.
Yes.
You're Purdue. You're not – look at his roster. It's not full of McDonald's All-Americans. They're not getting those dudes. What are they doing? They're evaluating? Nobody wanted Braden Smith. Nobody wanted Zach Edey. right? Nobody wanted those guys. They're evaluating, developing, and they've been able to retain.
Not nobody.
Very few.
He went to IMG. He had an offer from Baylor. Like, not nobody. A lot of people wanted Zach Edey. No one wanted Zach Edey, two-time National Player of the Year. Those are two very different things.
I'm just saying, nobody really, like, he wasn't a top 100 player. Neither one were top 100
He wasn't
players.
The kind of guy that Jeff was going to pay attention to. That's all he's saying.
Nobody paid attention to him.
Jeff is saying, I go to Peach Jam and I watch only top 50 players.
If there's anyone who has an eye for talent at the Peach Jam.
That's right. It's Bobby.
Will you be able to sit next to each other like this all week?
No, we're going to have to switch seats.
No.
We're absolutely going to have to switch seats.
Find out if they do after these messages, folks. We're just getting started. We're live from Huss Brewing Company on East Monroe Street in downtown Phoenix. Come visit us. Coming up, who's on college basketball's current coaching Mount Rushmore? I'm going to ask the fellas who their top four coaches are in college hoops. That's next. Oh. This is the Field of 68 live from the Final Four.
I haven't heard.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
By now, we are partnered with BetMGM. We'll be using the BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for the listeners and the viewers of the Field of 68. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, you can use the bonus code FIELD, and you will get up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's the best part. All you need to do is deposit and bet $10 of your own hard-earned money. This is how you make it work. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using the bonus code FIELD. Deposit at least $10 and place your first wager on any game. And three, you will receive up to $1,500 in bonus bets if that bet loses. And most importantly, we have some fun stuff coming up for the Final Four. Bet insurance tokens, college hoops, odds boosts, and what I love, a nice little parlay boost, as well as a ridiculous array of prop bets on anything that you could possibly imagine betting on. BetMGM is and always will be the king of the prop bet. So go download the BetMGM app and use that code FIELD to sign up today. By now, you guys have surely heard about Autograph, an app founded by Tom Brady with the intention of disrupting the way that fans consume content covering their favorite teams. Here's how the app works. All of the podcasters and bloggers and digital creators covering a team have their content sent to that team's page in Autograph. Instead of having to bounce from site to site or try to navigate the only safe for work spaces that are left on X, you just scroll through Autograph. This isn't a hard sell. This is the truth. I'm a UConn fan. I use the Autograph app to keep up with the writers I read and the pods that I listen to. The best part is that every piece of content that you consume gives you reward points. The more you get, the more chances you have at things like discounted tickets and signed memorabilia.
Whether you are a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. After a six-month season loaded with cross-country travel, I can promise you that proper recovery is a priority for me these days. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this episode of the Field of 68. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or the EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Whether you're here in New Jersey or at one of the hundreds of other locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. If you're interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself, go to unifiedhealing.com/unified68 to learn more and find a center near you. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or as a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including the EE system.
Welcome back to the Field of 68, live from the Final Four. We're at Huss Brewing Company on East Monroe Street in downtown Phoenix, Arizona. Randolph Childress is here with a slick, beautiful hair.
Yeah.
Rob Doster is ready to go, fresh out the shower. Jeff Goodman is here as well with the new shirt.
No, not new. Slimming shirt. Yeah, slimming.
And I'm John Fanta. Guys, welcome back.
You might
back.
Need to wear three of them, Jeff.
All right. Let's turn to coaching in college basketball here, because with Dan Hurley now on the cusp of potential back-to-back national championships, it brings up the question with the departures that we've had in this sport. Who's on the current college basketball coaching Mount Rushmore? We asked this question to our expert panelists earlier today, and now it's time to deliver them. We'll start with Randolph Childress.
Oh, you son of a-
yeah, you're first up here, RC. RC, you don't even have to pick all four. You could just give us one or two and then build upon it.
I'm going to start with Bill Self to start.
Great start.
I don't think you can, you know, I think he's probably the top of everyone's list. So I'm gonna go with Bill. Start with Bill.
Anybody disagree with that? Anybody disagree with Bill
I
Self?
I think he's pretty.
If you disagree with that, you're an idiot.
Right. You should be kicked off the show right now.
you okay?
Please.
I'm good.
Okay.
Just
making sure.
I mean,
just making
he's
sure.
Number one on my list.
Yeah, he's a consensus number one. If not, he has to be number two. All right, so he's number one. Go ahead and give us number two. Will he do it?
This one's easy.
No. Will he do
this
it?
This one's easy.
Is
who,
he going to do it?
This one's easy.
You want me to say Dan.
Yeah.
No, that's not who I was going to go with.
Who?
I was going to go with Kelvin Sampson, number two on that list.
Wow. He's going to be number three. But number he's two or three list. Is fine. I don't argue.
Number two
with
on the list has got to be Kelvin to me.
Kelvin. Yeah, I go Kelvin. What he's done in 10 years with that Houston program. Now, again, number three for me is going to be Dan Hurley and what he's done to revitalize the UConn program, right? They were both complete shit when they took him over.
I think it's really interesting to compare the two of them, because Kelvin has this level of consistency that you see every single season.
Amazing.
They're winning 28 games. They're winning 30 games. They're one of the toughest, most physical teams. It doesn't matter who the names are. You know exactly who they're going to be. You know exactly what they're going to be. You know exactly how they're going to play. Whereas Dan kind of has these slow builds, right? When he was at Rhode Island, it was not good the first couple of years. Then it was better, then it was better, then it was better. Then he's the best team in the A-10, and he's the seventh seed and wins the game in the tournament, right? Then he goes to UConn, when it's like 16-15 the first year, a couple tournaments. Then it doesn't feel like, you know, a couple first-round exits. Then, boom, he hits it second year, third year, sixth year, they're even better.
Who's the fourth guy?
I'll tell you this. Hold on.
That's
hold
the
on.
Hard part.
I agree, but wait a minute.
The three are easy,
the three
right?
Are easy.
We all agree with those three are three of the four.
Just to give you this note on Kelvin Sampson.
Yep.
Over the last 3 years, and remember, this year was their first in the toughest conference in college basketball, the Big 12. Over the last 3 years, they've won no less than 32 games in each year. He's 97-15.
It's funny, too. In the preseason, I remember talking to him, and I asked him, I'm like, you're excited to go in the Big 12? And you know what he said to me? He's like, hell no.
He said no.
He's like, I love being in the AAC. It's easy. You know, I run this thing. but he kind of ran it this year in the Big 12.
Runs the Big 12 now, too,
apparently. He's going to have to figure it out again without Jamal Shedd next year, but he'll be just fine. And I just think, again, it's so different now. When we were asked this question when we started this network 3 years ago, it was easy, right? Like, Kay, Jay Wright. Like, it was super easy. Izzo, self. Those were probably your four for the most part.
Roy Williams. Roy Williams.
I think when we started, Roy was probably in his last year. So, yeah.
Now
it's changed. The guard has changed a little bit where you do have a Dan Hurley making his way into that. We didn't have Kelvin there 3 years ago.
No.
What he's done over these last 3 years, Self was there. Self was there. He hasn't moved. He's going to be there probably for the next 5-10 years. Who is that fourth guy? It is not easy. I'm looking at it right now. And we should probably write down our answers. I wouldn't be surprised if we have four different answers.
All right. Do it. Go ahead and type in your phone the answer.
Type in your phone the answer.
And that gives me a chance to amp it up here. YouTube chat, give us your answers right now. I've got producers, Trevor, Dagan. We've got Jalen here. They're going to tell us who the YouTube chat is saying right now. YouTube chat, come on. This is like, I feel like we're playing match game. Right now, I feel like we're playing match game. These guys are going to write down the answers, and then we're going to see.
No Izzo is laughable
from the YouTube chat. See, we'll debate that in a second.
I mean, I disagree with that. I disagree.
You do?
I do. As of today, I would not put Tom Izzo on there.
Why?
Because I don't think he's adapted. Until he shows me he's willing to adapt and hit the portal, I'm not ready. Listen, Tom Izzo is a Hall of Famer. What he's done in his career is insane. But as of right now, with what he's done over the last few years, he probably doesn't deserve to be on there today. Now, again, if you're going Mount Rushmore, what your career accomplishments have been, that's a little different. I'm talking about right now who the four coaches are that would be at the top of the sport. I would not have Tom Izzo on there.
All right,
Am I crazy?
No, you're not. Here we go. The man with the most feel on the set's going to give us the first answer. Who do you got?
I'm going with Mark Few. Mark Few has reached a national title game in two of the last seven NCAA tournaments. He's been to the last nine Sweet 16s. Nice. He came one Nigel Williams-Goss sprained ankle away from winning a national title. He had an undefeated team heading into the national title game with All-Americans. He's consistently been able to build teams despite losing talent. And I think this year was as good of a coaching job as we've ever seen him do. He basically had three guards that were functional on the roster. He had four big guys. He had a seven-man rotation, three centers in that seven-man rotation, and he made it to the Sweet 16. Beat the hell out of your number one guy. Beat him by 30.
I'm torn between two guys. He just chopped up Izzo, and I told you guys, he's like my favorite. But if I can't have Izzo, I'm going to go with Tony Bennett. And I know y'all going to think I'm crazy. I think this is the least talented team he's had.
I mean, both of you are going with guys that honestly could retire like tomorrow, and it wouldn't shock me.
It wouldn't shock me either.
That the game has kind of – Izzo, Few, and Tony Bennett are three guys that I think the game and the way it's going with NIL and the way it's going with the transfer portal, those guys have not adapted.
But that's what Mount Rushmore is supposed to be. It's like, what have you done? It's not projecting who's going to be the best moving forward. It's like – what have you done the last 10 years?
I'm going even more lately because the game has changed so much.
I will push back on the Tom Izzo because he had everybody returning. Now, if you want to knock the team, they had everybody returning.
Nobody's saying Tom Izzo right now. If you're saying Tom Izzo.
No, he's defending. I think he's saying
Tom
Izzo.
Wait, you're defending Izzo?
Yes.
Oh, how could you defend him? He just had one of the more underwhelming seasons we've ever seen.
Should have went to the portal.
He did.
Should have went to the portal, shouldn't he?
He doesn't.
Listen, I think y'all set me up as much as I was on talking about Michigan State all year
long. Put your sunglasses on. Put your ACC glasses on.
I had people in Michigan calling me because y'all thought that.
You picked an ACC coach.
I did. I think he is one of the best in the business.
Adapted.
Neither has Few. Well,
who's your choice?
My choice is Scott Drew.
The YouTube chat says Scott Drew.
My choice is Scott Drew.
For me, it was Mark Few or Scott Drew.
Because, listen.
I agree with Scott Drew.
I just think Scott Drew, to me, has adapted. He has kept Baylor at the highest level. He has won a national title in the last few years. As of today, again, if you're looking at it in totality.
You can say the same thing about Tony Bennett right now.
Oh, my goodness.
Are you kidding? No way.
Why?
Are you out of your mind?
Why?
No. Let him cook.
You can't cook. Let him cook.
Let him cook. Let him cook, fellas. Let him cook.
Well, he can cook, but the dish is mediocre.
He's done more or less. I'm going with Tony.
He can cook, but the sandwich ain't going to be very good. Go ahead.
I'm going with Tony Bennett. You can't listen. Honestly, you can't argue with any of them.
But we can argue with Tony. We
can argue. How many natties does Few have?
He should have one.
How many? I don't have one.
He should have one.
I should have hair.
Like shit.
We don't play the shoulda game.
How many times has Few gotten dropped in the first round of the tournament?
How many did he win?
Randolph, it's really hard for me to justify Virginia.
I'm not asking for y'all justification. I don't give a damn. This is my opinion. I don't give a damn what y'all think.
Which program is harder to build, Baylor or Virginia?
When he took – okay, listen, I'm not debating that. They have the same national titles.
One is adapting, one is not. Right?
You're never going to change it.
Like, adapted to what?
Hold on. Can we just make something clear?
To the new college basketball.
The more we disagree, I mean, the
adapting,
more
– How about adapting his offense?
In your heels.
How about adapting his offense?
Wait, all right, here's a great question to spin it forward.
Cheers.
Here's a great question to spin it forward. Yeah, right, yeah, so you just moved to the hard alcohol with that argument. You moved to the hard alcohol.
I got no comeback for that one.
Hey, here's a great question to this point.
I got no comeback for that.
So that's the current with all these hires being made. Now this spins it, you know, with a new guy at Louisville who you like that hire. Call your shot.
In three years,
who's the new guy on the Mount Rushmore? 3 or 4 years, who are we talking about saying, yeah, he's got it now. He's on Mount Rushmore.
I mean, it could be Nate Oates. Like he certainly has the personality, the system. You know, it'll be interesting to see if he's at Alabama in 4 or 5 years. You know, that'll be the big question, right? Like, does he leave? Can he get if something happens – at Kansas, let's say Bill Self says, I'm tired of this shit.
I think he's the next guy, like you said, to your point. He's the next guy.
What if Bill Self goes to, like, the Spurs or something in the NBA? Because I actually do think Bill Self would be a good NBA head coach.
Hold on.
I don't know if he can get the opportunity.
We fucked all this up. We missed the most obvious guy.
Who?
You going to say Pitino.
Who? Yeah. How do we not put Pitino on that list?
No.
Again.
He's the literal GOAT.
Yeah,
I get it.
But he's got, like, at St. John's, I don't know. Like, he's in totality again. Self, Pitino, Izzo. Like, those are the Mount Rushmores of accomplishments. We're not talking accomplishments. We're talking more now. You know, it's a little different with Rick. He's 70 years old. We'll see. We'll see what happens. I hope he gets it going at the highest level this year. Maybe he should stop taking Ivy League transfers. That might be where I'd start if I was him.
So he's just going after Big East transfers now.
Yeah, why not? Why not? Absolutely. If I was him, everybody else is poaching within league. Mm-hmm. Go to it.
You want to know who it actually is going to be?
I got one.
You want to know who is going to be?
Yeah, go ahead.
The next guy on the Mount Rushmore.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Ed Cooley.
All right, Rob. I knew you were going to do that. I knew you were going to do that, Rob.
Let me live, Vanna.
I knew he was going to do that. I got to say, I think.
I thought he was going to come up with a serious answer.
No, it was not going to be that.
It was never going to be serious.
Come on. I think that there.
Come on, that was funny.
It was funny. It was okay. Like, it was fun. I really do like.
Who? Who do you like? Who's your guy?
I think in 5 years, not 3 years. I'm going to give it five, a little bit longer.
Okay. Who do you got?
I'm all in on this Pat Kelsey movement, guys.
Oh,
I'm all in.
It took 1 week.
Wait.
1 week.
No.
1 week.
That's not jumping
Holy
on a
crap.
Limb.
Yeah. No, I just
That's
love
That's not
the
jumping on a
I
limb,
though.
Wow.
I do. No.
It's Vanna and Kelsey. Imagine them in the same room locked up for 24 hours.
Yeah, he's
only
he's,
one
he's
of them comes out.
Glasses. We could swap right. glasses.
Yeah, he's got
no,
the
I'm calling. No, I'm. I have those frames, too. No, I'm saying. I'm not
Wait,
saying I'm buying
are
it after
you saying
week.
You copied Kelsey with his glasses?
No. He copied me. Here's the thing. I think that this was a great hire because Louisville needs a – oh, wow.
There he is.
Yeah. The
architect. The architect.
I was told your plane wasn't
director,
in yet.
Dave Benedict just walked on set. Dave, can we Dave, get do you mind update? Sitting? Do you mind sitting down with us here at the Field of
Come on.
Randolph Childress.
Let me get up.
All right, so folks, for those who are just joining us, we're welcoming on UConn AD Dave Benedict, the athletic director. The Connecticut men's basketball team right now stuck back east because of plane issues. Dave, we've told the story that's been reported first by Matt Norlander. You're the AD. You're getting things in real time. We all find this pretty ridiculous, to say the least. What is happening right now with your men's basketball team?
Well, look, I mean, let's start with, you know, we know travel's not, you know, it's not easy, and it's not an exact science. So
here he goes with the professional stuff.
You know, mistakes can happen. Things happen. You know, I think the challenge is, in this kind of environment, you know, this is the biggest game of the year for us. There's only four teams that you're worried about traveling. You know, is there not an opportunity to have a contingency plan here? So, you know, right now there's no plan in Connecticut for us. We're being told that potentially we can fly out of Connecticut sometime after midnight. We don't have a confirmation there, but the plane that we're going to get is not going to be big enough to transfer our whole party.
Can you get a private plane? Are you allowed to? Are you allowed to get a private plane right now over there?
Well, I mean, when you say a private plane, there's not that many private planes that can transport the number of people that we're talking about. And, you know, the issue is you know, it's not about just getting the plane, but you got to have a crew. And that crew's got to have the ability to fly the
but
5 hours.
Get the players here. Even to get
the
players
yeah, that,
in the
that
staff,
obviously,
like
that is
20
the,
people, get them is, on a plane, get them here.
I wish it was only 20 people.
Yeah, right,
what staffs are you talking about?
The main people. We just need your lunatic head coach and the players. Yes. That's all we need.
Sports info.
Goodman, is he? I thought he covered basketball.
Sports info, all
people.
The people.
No, but there's
people.
Only 20 that are,
math,
that are.
Oh, really? So you want us to split the team up?
Hell yeah.
Yeah, okay.
No, I'm not splitting the players
that's
up.
That's a great culture thing.
I'm saying the players.
Leave Andrew Hurley behind. He's
yeah,
be, no,
yeah.
It's not that important.
No, you bring Andrew, you bring the walk-ons, but that's.
How are they supposed to get to everything tomorrow? They have to be escorted all throughout the stadium.
No, I'm saying, can we get a plane there? I'll foot the bill.
Okay.
How much is it going to cost, Dave? Yeah.
Oh,
how much?
Yeah.
How much is
get
it? So I don't have to hear Danny complain tomorrow.
Get your black Amex out. We'll charge that thing up. Look, you know, I'm confident. I've been in touch with Danny Gavitt. You know, I think he's trying to do everything they can. But, you know, the reality is we're not going to have a team here until – you know, 2-3 o'clock in the morning, best case. And that's not going to be, you know, there's going to be quite a few people left behind because the plane that they're talking about getting is going to have to take a fuel stop if we transport everybody, which is going to add another hour to an hour and a half. And that's just not acceptable.
No, it sucks. This all sucks. And this isn't the first time that we've heard of teams having travel issues.
Well,
but this is.
Yeah, I mean, last year we
time.
Showed up in Vegas to a hotel that, you know, some rooms didn't have vanities, other rooms had vomit on the bed. You know, we had to leave that hotel to go to another one. Our bus got broken into, kids' stuff got stolen on the bus. I mean, it's you can't make it up. But look, you know, maybe this is what we need to make sure that we're focused.
I think so.
Are you setting this up?
Was this a plan by you to make sure
that your coach thinks that the NCAA is out to get him?
No, I think it's a conspiracy. Like all
I
the,
told you.
All
I
the,
tried to tell you it was.
Gosh. He was right.
I tried to tell him it was
the programs that are, you know, members of power conferences all seem to have gotten here without any problems.
Let me ask you a real question. Because
are these not real questions?
They are. But this one's a little bit more about what you saw in your head.
By the way, let me say this. Let me preface this before you ask the question. I love that you did come here and sit down.
Unprompted, not a lot.
Just came here and sat down. A lot of ADs.
No, we got a bunch of fans. I mean, look. Let's put it out there. It is what it is at this point in time. I'm sure Coach will use this in an appropriate fashion. It's not the best experience. I mean, this is supposed to be about a championship experience. None of this is a championship experience at this point in time.
No, not when there's players from other teams that we've seen walking around right now that are playing this week, and you guys haven't even left Connecticut.
Go ahead.
I want to ask you this question. The first encounter or two with Dan Hurley that you had in your life, what were those like? What did you see in this guy?
Look at him smiling over there.
That was over 8 years, or no, it wasn't 8 years ago. Felt, you know, that was over 6 years ago. Look, we met Dan and Andrea in their home, but I think he was, there was a lot weighing on him. Obviously, he just finished his season, which they had a great year that year, but just got beat by Duke. You know, he was contemplating staying at Rhode Island. There were other options for him. So, you know, he wasn't necessarily his normal self because there was a lot of stuff going on. And, you know, we had a great conversation. And ultimately, yeah, things have worked out. And we're very happy that you know, he chose to come to UConn. And, you know, just remember, we were still in the American Athletic Conference at that time. And the question came up during our conversation about, you know, the potential change of conferences, and I just said, hey, look, you can't make this decision based on me telling you what conference we're going to be in. And, you know, I really respect and appreciate the fact that he came knowing that we could still be in the American, because there were no commitments made at that point in time. So
you have a coach that is as demanding as any coach in the country. So I want to know, what is the craziest thing that he has asked you for? What is when the list of demands? What is
he can't divulge that.
He just said he was happy I came here. You're making me want to leave right now. I'm not getting into that. No, I mean, look, Dan wants the same things every other coach wants. He wants, you know, the support that he feels like is necessary to maintain a championship level program. And, you know, to say that he's asked for crazy things, he wants money so he can support his assistant coaches.
I was getting into the unlimited supply of hand sanitizer.
The unlimited supply of what?
Hand sanitizer.
Oh, look, when he wears gloves on the practice court, you know, that's just part of the shtick. And so, you know, I don't worry about that stuff. He gets what he needs. So whether it's hand sanitizer or latex gloves, you know, it doesn't matter.
Hey, what was it like when you guys lost to New Mexico State in the first round? Do you remember having a conversation with him after that? Because he's told me and a lot of other people, like, that kind of changed his philosophy, right? From going from a coach that was all about toughness and defense and grinding out wins to, hey, you know what? We need some dudes in who can make shots and move the ball and score.
Yeah, I think the most impressive thing about Coach Hurley, you know, during the evolution of his time at UConn is you didn't need to have that kind of conversation. You know, walking back to the locker room after that game, you know, we crossed paths at a certain point, not you know, far from the locker room, but it was clear, like, you know, I'm sure he was thinking about a million things as to why and what was next. But he didn't need to be counseled or told. He went to work quickly with his staff to figure out what they had to do to make sure that never happened again.
You have a men's team and a women's team in the Final Four, and I believe this is the fifth time that you've had both programs reach the Final Four in the same season. You just said you flew in here straight from Portland. What, how
amazing, by the way.
Yeah, which is really awesome. Storrs, basketball capital of the world. How hard is it to kind of balance the focus on, okay, we got these two different teams, I got to be at these two different sites, I want to show support for both these programs? It feels like in the most important part of the year, you can be stretched a little bit thin here.
Yeah, look, it's a good problem to have. And, you know, fortunately, we've got a coach like Gino Auriemma, who is wise beyond his years, and he doesn't get caught up in that stuff. You know, he's been doing it for so long. He's seen more than all of us put together throughout his career. He really has an uncanny ability to focus on the most important thing at the time. And Gino is,
and that's probably
outside
Caitlin
of
Clark right now, right?
Yeah, outside of being on the court, I mean, he's about as steady of an individual at the level that he's at that I've been around any of my stops in my 25-plus year career. Yeah, I mean, it's remarkable. And, no, the game against USC the other night was, you know, you could just feel the emotion after that game of how satisfying and pleased he was for that group of kids that they were able to accomplish that, because, you know, it was, and it wasn't like this stuff happened during the season. They dealt with this the entire year.
You know, Coach Hurley said this last weekend in Boston. He's like, this is the perfect marriage because I'm wired a certain way. And Dave, as you well know, at UConn Husky AD on X, the Husky fan base is wired a certain way. We're in the ultimate what have you done for me lately world, and it feels like your fans are just constant because they want it so, so bad. How would you describe just the intensity level of this program, what it takes to be here back-to-back years, and what it's like as the athletic director when you're getting tweets and posts and do we have tickets, do we have this, do we have that?
It doesn't end. Are the mascots? I mean, I'm responsible for the dog. I don't – it's look, it's a good problem to have because the alternative is apathy, and nobody wants that. That's like the death knell of any program. And so I'd much rather have the intensity and interest level that we have. I think sometimes it's, you know, comical, and you got to keep it in perspective. And you guys deal with this because you're in the media, and I'm sure you guys get, you know, lots of different tweets that are various varieties. And
your
and
fans love me. What are you talking
about? The one thing that I've learned to do, John, is just, you know, ignore the stuff that's just irrational and try to respond to the people that are truly looking for information in the best way I possibly can. But look, the intense interest in our program is really important to us because we aren't in this so-called power conference dynamic, and you know, you can get lost. I mean, programs that are outside of that aren't necessarily getting that coverage, and so our fans almost demand that we're out there and in front of it. And so when you see what's happening on social media, the fact that we're followed and getting similar coverage or better coverage than all the programs in the country, it's a lot of that's being driven by our fan base.
Do you see Dan Hurley? We just talked about the Mount Rushmore. And if you have to run, you let us know. We just talked about the Mount Rushmore of college basketball. You got about a minute and a half here. And we had Dan Hurley on there. It was Bill Self. We all agreed on Bill Self, Kelvin Sampson, Dan Hurley. Then we had a different fourth guy.
As far as current active coaches?
Right. Yeah.
Okay.
Which is incredible. How quickly it's flipped from 2 years ago where – some people in stores were ready to run Dan Hurley out of town.
Yeah, which I think is
insane.
Preposterous. But
agreed.
Yeah,
agreed. What do you think of that? His quick rise, and why? I guess why? Why
well, I
is he so great? Because we
think,
all know he is.
I don't think it's a quick rise. You know, because I think it's about opportunity, and so it's clear that now that Dan has put himself in a position and has had the opportunity to be able to recruit the same level talent as some of the other people you mentioned, we see what the results are. And so, you know, I think there's probably a lot of really good coaches out there, but when you aren't playing with the same level talent and you don't have the same kind of resources, I think there's probably a lot of other individuals that could be really successful in a big time way, but aren't in a situation that provides them that platform.
Dave, best of luck with
the
Huskies
you.
This week.
Any quick update? You want to look at your phone?
I'm gonna go see if I can get the hot take right now.
Dave Benedict, he is responsible as much as anybody for this amazing, amazing success of UConn men's basketball. Dave, thank you so much with the Huskies in men's and women's. Both in the Final Four. NC State also both teams in the Final Four. We'll talk more about this Final Four as we hit hour number two of our three-hour premiere show of Final Four Week live from Husk Brewing Company here on East Monroe Street in Phoenix. Hour two next. You're listening to the Field of 68.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications at TryLifeMD.com? We're now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
It's fun to put on jeans that you couldn't get into 6 months ago.
Every morning, I look forward to getting on the scale.
For anybody who's struggling with their weight, it's a godsend.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.